Hi, Dov here again. Tomorrow, Bez Hashem, the 8 a.m. New York City time call is going to be about the recovery themes and issues, concepts in the Seder and the Avoda of the Leil HaSeder and Pesach in general. Just wanted to preface it with two things. One is that for proper appreciation of the topic, I would highly recommend hearing over two talks that I gave on this line, one on the topic of Purim, and the other on the topic of Bein Hazmanim. Those two talks, I'm sorry, not Bein Hazmanim, Pesach. I gave a general talk on Pesach a few weeks ago, maybe 2, 3 weeks ago, general talk on Pesach, and right before Purim, I gave a talk on the Inyan of Purim and how they relate to recovery, addiction and recovery, Purim and Pesach. Those two talks I think would be really good background material to help the Avoda of the Leil HaSeder and Pesach in particular, and recovery issues. Talk tomorrow, Bez Hashem, make a lot more sense. So that's one thing. Okay, just wanted to have an opportunity to share something that came up in a call with a guy this morning. This is something that I harp on quite often, and it bears a lot of relevance to guard your eyes, topics that come up frequently on guard your eyes, and I think that it bears repeating and clarification. So, Bezos Hashem, I'm going to try to clarify there's a danger on guard your eyes, and in a Jewish setting, putting recovery in a Jewish setting, there's a grave danger that I want to mention. And this danger applies, it expresses itself in any situation where a person finds recovery dafka in a Jewish setting. Lahavdil, it also applies where anyone finds their recovery in a Christian setting as well. There are many Christian recovery groups. There are some Jewish recovery groups too, like Jack's, for example. And I'm not speaking for Jack's here, and I'm not speaking for Sexaholics Anonymous either, which is, the fellowship which I'm a member of. But I'm just mentioning that there is an issue that keeps coming up, and it certainly comes up on Guard Your Eyes more than anywhere else than I've ever seen. And this isn't an indictment of Guard Your Eyes or Jack's or Jewish SA groups or any. It's not an indictment of anybody. I'm just trying to clarify a danger, what I see as a danger, and in my recovery and in my experience, what I have discovered. It for me and for others that I've seen is a grave danger, and that is that there are some people that want to redo the 12 steps in a Jewish way. They keep talking about this comes up on Guard Your Eyes every year or two. Somebody finds recovery or whatever stops sexually acting out their lust. Through their experience on Guard Your Eyes, bumps into the 12 steps,
maybe goes to SA meetings or to SAA meetings or SLAA meetings or SCA meetings or who knows what, or you know, or AA meetings or something, or phone meetings that are geared to 12 steps or whatever, and they find, excuse me, and they stop their sexual acting out behaviors. You know, they cease doing them. They see that they're, you know, doing them less often maybe, or only once in a blue moon, or not at all. You know, things like that happen, you know. And since they're from, and they feel like, you know, I have all this spiritual stuff, and Yiddishkeit tells me it's usher to do this. So mamela, when we're clean, we feel like we're doing tshuva. When we're clean, we feel like we're being good. And like now we're close to Hashem, and we're, and all this is true, obviously. A crazy person, I mean, the Chofetz Chaim says that one of the great commandments is not to be a shaita, you know. So obviously a person who was a fool for, you know, for whatever reason, was a fool before, you know, didn't know how to have a relationship, didn't know how to spend his money, or how to manage his money, and therefore lost tons of money, which is time, which the Chofetz Chaim says is life, and therefore wasted time. Now he can't be learning. Now he can't do this. And then it affects his Yiddishkeit tremendously. His shalom bias is affected tremendously. Such a person who discovers that he's a real fool when it comes to money management. At the same time, I'm sorry. When this person discovers that he's, you know, how to manage his money, and you know, and starts to do that right, what happens is his avodas Hashem is improved tremendously. You know, this is clear. His avodas Hashem, there are repercussions in your health. If a person has no hygiene, sleep hygiene, if a person has no bodily hygiene, when they fix that stuff up through therapy or just making a decision to start behaving right or get help, you know, with a life coach or what have you, and they start getting 7 hours of sleep every night, they start taking care of themselves, you know, physically better, they start exercising regularly, that will have positive repercussions probably on their entire Avodas Hashem, you know, as well. So again, it's another example of what the Chofetz Chaim is referring to. Don't be a shaita. When a person becomes a chacham, they're not being a shaita anymore. And we're all shaita, you know, in some area, in some respect, you know, in some way, probably. So when a person learns, you know, gets out of that, obviously it's going to change their avoda. That doesn't make exercising a religious thing. You know, that doesn't make showering a religious thing. It impacts religion, you know. It impacts their shalom bias as well. It impacts their, it will, if you speak to somebody who didn't exercise before or who didn't get adequate sleep before and now they consistently get habitual sleep and exercise, you know, their kids will say, well, you know, their kids will realize something changed with Tati. Over the past year, or the wife will see, my God, you really pulled yourself to life together. Before, the house was just a mess and disorganized. You were angry all the time, or grumpy, or this, and now things are so different. Life is so different; it impacts everything. Oh, you know what I'm saying? They'll see that stuff, and it will happen. That doesn't make exercising a religious experience or a religious matter. It's not. It never was. It never will be. It has religious value, but it's not a religious matter. That's an important distinction to make, an important thing to understand. So if a person makes it a religious matter, one of the dangers is that once it becomes a religious matter, then it becomes usur not to exercise in the mind of that person. It becomes a mitzvah to exercise, and it becomes usur not to exercise in the mind of that person. And for him, it may in fact be that way. As the Shulchan Aruch Kodesh interprets Kedoshim Tihyu, that mitzvahs and averus are affected, for an individual person are affected. He believes in relative ethics, the Shulchan Aruch Kodesh, in some respect. In some respect, he believes that what's right and wrong Apitura for me changes according to where I'm holding and what I am, not in terms of the Shulchan Aruch, but in terms of what you and I would probably call chumras, you know, specific behavioral things where, you know. But anyhow, aside from all that, what happens is typically a person who starts doing their thing and makes a, sorry about the noise, and makes a religious matter of it in their own mind, that person has... it is very likely to consider it mitzvah and avera kind of territory. The exercise will be considered mitzvah and avera territory now. And that will twist what they're doing into a beast that it's not supposed to be. You're going to find these kind of people going around judging other people and saying, oh, you don't exercise? Well, that's terrible. You don't understand what it's doing to yourself? It's probably us, or according to this, that, and the other thing. There, you know, and okay, fine. That's very nice. As far, and it might not happen, but it might. That's as far as exercise goes. As far as making my spiritual recovery into a religious matter, the problem is this. Since we're not talking about alcohol here, we're talking about sinning. The addiction that some people who come on Guard Your Eyes, a minority, but some of the people who come on Guard Your Eyes, the addiction that we're talking about here, sorry about the wind, we're in a bad place here. The addiction that we're talking about here is an addiction revolving around a drug that happens by coincidence to be a sin. The reason that the people are doing it is not because it's a sin, it's not because of the Yetzer Hara, it's because they enjoy it and because it does something for them. It, you know, they've learned, we sex addicts have learned from a very young age that when we get into sexual fantasy and porn and sex with ourselves, masturbation, etc., or sex with others, all the problems of life start to disappear for the time that we're into it, and we're freed to some degree from the problem. In our minds, we have freedom and peace. It's sort of like being a little kid again, back to the adventure. And then when we discover Yiddishkeit and the Avera in it and the tshuva process, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what happens to us is we use even that to mess ourselves up even more, because now the tshuva process itself, the adventure, the stress, the pressure, the spiritual high of being accepted back by Hashem, all that stuff, which is part of the acting out, ultimately, becomes itself an escape mechanism and a drug. If you want, look at a post that I wrote on the forum many years ago called The Nuclear Reset Button to explain this a little bit. But anyhow, the whole issue becomes, since this addiction for those who are addicts, which is only a minority of the people on Guard Your Eyes, for those who are addicts, since this issue revolves around a behavior that happens to be a sin, freedom from it, sobriety as we call it, seems like it's part of, you know, it's aziva sachet, which is part of the tshuva process that the Rishonim talk about, that the Gemara and the Rishonim talk about, and the Nevi'im actually, discuss. So, and therefore what happens is people often, when they get clean, start to attribute their success to religious things, to religious concepts. And, you know, and this is a problem, because if we were self-honest, we would see that before I came to recovery, before I learned, let's say, the 12 steps, or started to put into action some of the concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous's recovery culture, like being open and honest in a group, acceptance of certain facts, as opposed to saying, "Oh, puya, that's disgusting." I saw that shaketz to shakzenu and puya, it's disgusting, is just another fantasy in my mind. Accepting certain facts helped me, and now I see that I'm, you know, clean 100 days, da da da, and it's great, and it is great. It is great. So now this person is at a juncture, and this juncture repeats itself over and over and over for probably, you know, a year or two. A person's in a danger of starting to fantasize in their mind a religious fantasy, a religious lust, that had I only learned the Hasidic Sfarim properly, had I learned this Sifrei Kodesh of whatever it is, Moser Sfarim, whatever, properly, had I approached Judaism properly, then I would never have sinned in the first place, and I would have been able to stop. But I just didn't approach it properly. Now let me go teach others that the Tanya is the answer, because now I read the Tanya differently. Now I read the Divrei Chaim HaKodesh differently. Now I read the Marv HaShemesh differently. Now I read Nefesh Chaim differently. Now I read Ali Shor differently. Now I read Mesillas Yesharim differently. You know what I'm saying? And they do. They do. We do read it differently. We do indeed read it differently. We see the truth, and we do see the truth, and it's there. It's in the Sifrei Kodesh. It's in the Sfarim HaKdoshim. It's the answer is there, and I see the answer now in the Sifrei Kodesh. And I want to use the Sifrei Kodesh now to teach people how to recover. I'm going to use Yiddishkeit to teach them how to recover. This is what people all over the place are trying to do. And this is a horror. It's a horror. Because the fact is that they didn't recover. They didn't stop all that time that they were acting out. They had all these Sfarim, they read all these Sfarim, and they still didn't stop. Why is that? Why didn't they stop until they were exposed to certain ideas? And it bothers them. These ideas are from the Oxford movement, you know? These ideas are from AA. These ideas are from here. They're goyish and this and that. It bothers them, and it should bother them. I understand. I understand 100%. The problem is that they weren't clean until they were exposed to these ideas and started learning about these things. And now they see these ideas in the Sfas Emes, and they see these ideas in the Sifrei Kodesh, and they see these ideas in the Torah, but before they didn't. Why is it that before they didn't see these ideas in Torah, and now they do? You know? Hang on, I'm going to a place where it's not windy. Sorry. It's just a windy area. I'm going to get into my car here. Okay. Whew, that's better. So why is it? So there's the missing ingredient was a certain degree of sanity. There was a certain degree of sanity that was missing from their minds, from our minds. And we didn't possess that sanity. And that was a problem for us. And when we came to these groups that learned what they got, the special ingredient that they have, they learned from AA, from AA's 12 steps, ultimately, because they're 12 step groups, you know. There I was kind of certain things that were sanity. And therefore, I started to have a sane mind, a more sane mind, and the result was that I started to see the Sfas Emes and the Tanya and the Nefesh Chaim and the Michtav Meliyahu and the I started to see the Gemara and the Shari Tshuva and all the Pesilas Yesharim, etc. differently. I started to see mitzvahs differently, because I was given a gift of sanity. So I'm proposing to you that just as the messages, the 12 steps,
just as the messages of the 12 steps are not ultimately Torah messages, they're Derech Eretz messages, they're sanity messages, simple basic spirituality, which is sanity messages. And they're not Torah, because Derech Eretz is Kodma LaTorah. They're also not Christian messages. And the Christians, like Dr. Bob, who attributed religion into their AA program back in the day, who saw it as a religious Christian thing, some of them, and the Christian recovery groups, they're making the same mistake as they're still good, but they're making the same mistake as the Jewish recovery groups are making. It's not a Jewish issue, and it's not a Jewish solution, not. It's a sanity issue and a sanity solution. It's a self-honesty issue and a self-honesty solution. Yiddishkeit and Torah don't talk about self-honesty. There's an imperative to have self-honesty. It's looked up to in some way, but it's not really discussed as an issue, because Yiddishkeit presupposes that the Oved has certain basic ingredients of sanity and self-honesty, that certain ingredients of Tohu Kabaro, certain ingredients of Derech Eretz. And when the person doesn't have it, it's not Torah that's at fault, that Torah is not working for this person. It's the person isn't working for Torah. And there's nothing that Torah is going to do to give that to you. If you were raised in a household where the father and the mother are killing each other, there was no shalom bias, you're going to have problems. People went to the stipler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and they said to him, what can we do to help our children grow up from? He said, daven for them and have shalom bias. He didn't say, take them to another shir. Bring them to the Beis Medrash when they're babies so that they can hear the, hakhel, da-da-da-da-da, like the Torah says. No, he didn't say that. He said, shalom bias, and daven for them. Shalom bias is psychological soundness. If you give your kids that gift of psychological, mental soundness, because when there's a total lack of shalom bias in the house of a child growing up, what happens, the result of that is that the child is lacking basic sanity tools, a basic mind organization. Kibud Av Ve'Em is in the first of the five luchas. It's at the end of the five luchas because it's the bridge between Ben Adam L'Makom and Ben Adam L'Chavero. It's not Ben Adam L'Chavero. It's more Ben Adam L'Makom. Why? Like I've said before here, because the child's relationship to Av Ve'Em is their relationship to God. It is. It's where the child doesn't think about God. The child doesn't even barely think outside his own physical experience when he's sucking on a pacifier or something. But the child's first experience and exposure and practice to the concept of anything being outside himself, which is ultimately everything outside us is God, is from God. It's God's will, as the Sfarim teaches us. Everything, including ourselves, but we can't perceive that, which is called Bechira, you know. But the everything outside ourselves is God. The child's first experience with God is his parents, because that's the first thing outside himself that he really experiences, the first will outside his own that he really experiences, certainly. So Kabbalah Zavidah needs to be in the Ben Adam LaMakom portion of the Aser Sedibros, because it's the bridge to Ben Adam LaChavera, to the Kiyum HaTorah, you know, to the Malchus of Torah. It's the Kiyum of that. So it goes from Abba to Ima. So for those who wanna, on the same vein, a person who is lacking in shalom bias at home and doesn't have that acceptance of Avva Aim properly is going to be lacking in basic stability. Basic stability of mind, stability of heart and mind connection,
communication being honest and real. All kinds of BS is brought into the person's mind because it's exercised regularly at home, that people yell at each other and people convince each other and people fake all kinds of stuff, you know, control, manipulate each other. It's all in there in a lack of shalom bias. And the child is going to have a much harder time growing up to be frum, truly frum, if they don't have mental stability. And mental stability comes from household stability. And there's no way to fake it. You can't just fight when the kids aren't around. I understand it's better not to fight when the kids are. It's better to fight when the kids aren't around, perhaps, but that's not the solution. It's not going to solve this problem. The shalom bias is either real or it's not. It's either there or it's not. The fact that the kids don't see you fighting each other and disrespecting each other, it has a mila, but it's not the solution to the problem. That's not shalom bias. It's not shalom bias. And the sanity, soundness of mind, stability is not going to be transferred to the child unless there's shalom bias, true shalom bias, whatever that is. So, and that's not religious. And just because religion says, oh, the stipler said it, so that makes it religious. No, it's not. It's not. The stipler also says you have to eat. Well, it's a mitzvah to eat. That makes it religious. No, it's not. It's not religion. It's not religious. Religion will affect it. True, but that doesn't make it religious. And I was in the middle of a conversation with a guy, and I'm talking to him like this. A person comes to the program, and he learns simple faith instead of complicated faith. And he said to me, if that's a chiddush to the person, I see he's not a Breslover chassid. And I said to him, wait a second. Was this Breslover chassid, who since he's a Breslover, he knows about simple faith and not complicated faith, was this Breslover chassid masturbating before, looking at pornography before in an addictive manner? Was he a sex and lust addict before he came upon program and learned simple faith instead of complicated faith? Well, then if yes, then he wasn't a Breslover chassid in the respect that you're saying. He didn't have the simple faith from Breslov. He got the simple faith from AA, from SA, from the 12 steps. He got the simple faith from hanging around people who learned it from 12 steps. He's a Breslover, and Breslover talks all the time about simple faith. But then why was he masturbating himself if he had simple faith? Why was he compulsively looking at pornography over and over? Why was he faking himself to his wife and children? Why was he living a double life? I'm not talking about the sinners. The sinners are doing it because they have a Yetzirah. I'm talking about the addicts. If he was an addict, even though he was a Breslover chassid, and now that he's clean for 100 days, it's partially because he learned simple faith. If that's what's going on here, then I ask you, why do you tout the idea that he's a Breslover chassid right now? Because he didn't have the ingredients he needed. He didn't get them from Breslov. He got them from here. That's why he stopped masturbating. He didn't stop masturbating because he's a Breslover. He stopped masturbating because of the Goyim in AA who passed down a simple program of Derech Eretz. Because the frum Jews and the religious Christians, by the way, most of them, the overwhelming majority of them too, Lahavdil, were too busy talking about highfalutin ideas and religious stuff. And none of them, except for the drunks who were in the Oxford movement, had the humility and were lev nishbar v'nidke Elohim lo sivze. They didn't have that enough to actually get down on their knees and say, it's not the religious issues that are our problem. It's sanity that's our problem. We have a complicated faith, not a simple faith. We have arrogant, egotistical faith and religion. We don't have simple hachna'ah to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. we can be machnia everybody else. We can teach the religion to everyone and give Bali Tshuva shiurim like I did and do this and do that and do mivtzayim and be a rabbi in a shul or a kolo guy or this. I can figure out abai havayas da abai of a rava, the rava babai. I can figure out all these things and the Zohar HaKadosh and Chassidus and teach Kabbalah and teach Gemara and Pilpul and beautiful Hashkafa shiurim. But I'm still masturbating and pornography using and this and that, compulsively, and I still have a double life and I'm still a fake. Why? I'm missing Derech Eretz, not Torah. I have Torah, so to speak, to some degree, but I'm missing Derech Eretz. This is what the Gemara calls a person who has the Maftechos Chitzonios, but doesn't have. I'm sorry, has the Maftechos Pnimius, but doesn't have the Maftechos Chitzonios. He has the inner keys. He has Torah. He has the inner key, but he doesn't have the key to the outside to get into the building. That's what this is talking about. A person who has the Maftechos Pnimius, but he doesn't have the Maftechos Chitzonios. He doesn't have the mental stability, the self-honesty, the simplicity of faith. He has the complexity, the advanced faith, and not the simple part of faith that he should have gotten as a child that he lost when he discovered his penis. He might have had it as an 11 or 12-year-old, or she might have, but when he or she discovered porn, the person discovered another God. Let's face it. The person discovered a power greater than themselves that restored them to what felt like sanity. And they suddenly had a faith crisis. And the faith crisis told them, wait a minute, my new God of porn and beautiful naked women and this and the orgasms and the erotic adventures and everything, this excitement, it's more powerful than Tosfos. It's more powerful than the Rashba. It's more powerful than Kiyum HaMitzvos. It does something to me that all the Mitzrayim and all the Kiruv Rechokim and all the learning and all the davening, all that stuff doesn't give me this thing, this precious thing, Givalt. I found a power greater than myself that restores me to something. I don't realize that it's restoring me to insanity, actually. I think it's restoring me to sanity because it makes me feel okay for a minute. And all the Tosfosin and all the Maharshas and all the learning and all the mitzvahs and all the things, Madregas, they're great. They give me things that nothing else gives me, but it doesn't give me this thing, that this asek in this porn, in this alcohol, in this heroin, in this whatever, in this gambling, in this overeating, in this raging, this drug, this addiction gives me some kind of a peace of mind or at least a semblance of something that nothing else gives me. Oh my God. And they struggle for 20, 30 years trying to do tshuva, tshuva, tshuva. Of course, it's tshuva gemura that they're struggling for so that the Hashem will be meyid, that he'll never toshev l'kis la'od, etc. They're chasing straws. They're chasing Madregas. They've got the keys. They know they have the inner keys. They know they do, and they do. But they don't have the Maftechos Chitzonios. We don't have the outer keys. Derech Eretz, Kodma LaTorah, the keys that every goy who is living a sane, non-fake, non-double life has. And every Jew who is living, Lahavdil, who's living a sane, non-double life has. We don't have those keys. That's what an addict is. That's what an addict is. He has the chisfar, he has the Maftechos Pnimius, not the Maftechos Chitzonius. And I submit to you that just as the concept, basic concepts that a person, that an addict can learn in 12 steps and not from Torah, are not religious things in Torah. They're not Torah things. They're Derech Eretz things. The stuff in the program that he will learn these things from, if he's an addict and he has success in the program, the things that he learned from the program, just as they're Derech Eretz and not religious Torah things, for the Goyim who are into it, and for the Goyim in the Oxford movement or in AA or in this or that, who get these things from them, they're also not getting religious concepts. And they can scream from Heint bis Morgen, they can scream day and night that it's religion, it doesn't make it so, I'm sorry. It doesn't make it so. They're concepts of sanity. Read the doctor's opinion in AA. It's not religion. It's concepts of sanity and Derech Eretz that are not above and beyond religion. They're before religion truly starts. A great alcoholic, a sober alcoholic who died about 5 years ago named Sandy B., who has great talks on if you can use YouTube safely. So then they're under a YouTube heading keyword called Odontology, O-D-O-M-T-O-L-O-G-Y, Odontology. The talks of Sandy B., S-A-N-D-Y-B, the letter B as in boy. His last name was actually Beach, Sandy Beach, which is pretty funny. His parents had a sense of humor. But anyway, so Sandy talks about how religion teaches us how to connect to God, but recovery teaches us the need for God. Religion teaches us how great God is and how important it is to connect to God and how we should connect to God and how it's amazing and it's wonderful and it's beautiful. It's powerful. It's everything. It's amazing. But to the alcoholic who's a broken man or woman and finds AA, AA teaches them that they need God and what that means, what needing God and having God means. That's Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. And it's the confusing thing is that for a normal person, it's not Kodma LaTorah. Because for a normal person, it's part of Torah because he has it already and all he has is Torah. So he learned it as he was growing up to be a Frum Jew. So, of course, he sees it as part of Torah. But for a person who grew up Frum and everything and is Frum and is a Kolo guy or is a doctor who's Frum or a lawyer who's Frum or whatever, a Frum Yid, an Erlich Frum Yid, but he has a double life. He or she has a double life and he's masturbating and using pornography and he's not just a sinner, but he's an addict like me. And he's not yet clean. Guess what? He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. And he's not going to learn it by doing the same thing he's always been doing, which is Torah. He's going to have to, like the Gemara says, bend over and marry a woman. You know? What's marry a woman there? Apisod, it means to get the Midah of Malchus, to get Avoda. Malchus is Avoda, the Avoda of the Mikdash. That's Malchus. A person to get Malchus, he might sometimes have to bend over. You know? Gachin, whatever the word is. He might have to bend over to get it. If a person doesn't have it, he can't get it standing up. He can't get it remaining who he is. You can't keep trying the same thing over again and expecting a different result. Sorry. He's got to step back and get the maftechos chitzonios. He's got to get the outward keys, the keys to the outside door. Because the keys to the inside door are not going to help him or her to achieve what he or she needs to achieve. So, you know, and that's a hard pill to swallow. And the danger that I've seen that I started talking about, at the very beginning, which I see in
in religious recovery groups, and which I see happens on Guard Your Eyes a lot. And every time anybody tries to make a frum version of the 12 steps, this is what they're doing. They're messing up the whole thing because they're pretending that now that they figured out and learned the things that they need to learn, and now that they're successfully frum, and they are successfully frum, now they're going to teach other people how to get what they've got through the durch Yiddishkeit, through the frumkeit and the Musar and the Hasidus and the Torah and things. They're going to, you know, because they have it now. They don't understand, they don't accept, because it's ego. They don't want to accept that the only reason they were able to get what they got is because they stepped out of the fantasy of being in the inner room, and they admitted that they don't have the keys to the outer room. They went outside, and they stood outside the outer room, found the keys, called sanity, Derech Eretz, unlocked it, and walked in, and now they're in Torah. They don't realize that they can't ein chavush mater atzmo mi beis ha'asurim. Their ego does not want, our ego does not want us as from people to accept, fully accept the truth that we could never have. I'm speaking for those who could never. I'm not speaking for those who are from and, you know, did not learn or get anything from 12 steps at all. They didn't learn it from 12 steps. They learned it from the Zohar Kaddish, and that's it. They weren't affected and taught by, they didn't get a Masorah or passed on by or were affected by 12-step recovery people like me. They didn't learn it from me. They learned it from their Rebbe, who never heard of an addiction of any kind, is not an addict himself, which you might not know and might be, I don't know. But they didn't learn it from addiction recovery. They learned it purely, I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who learned it from a 12-step person, directly or indirectly. This person then becomes okay to some degree, at least, and then wants to, because of a religious ego, not because of an evil thing. A religious ego is Vayega Belibi Bedarkei Hashem, you know? It's a religious ego. It just doesn't work here. It's a great thing in many ways. It just doesn't work here because they got on their knees. They left the inner room, which they weren't really in except in their mind, and they went to the outside door of the outer room, and they said, Pischuli Sharei Tzedek, you know, from the outside room, not from the inside room. And now they want to show people how they can Pischuli Sharei Tzedek from outside the inside room, and to get the keys for the outside room while standing inside the outside room, right outside the inner doors, you can get the keys to the outer room without stepping outside. No. It doesn't work that way. If that's not how you got it, stop trying to teach other people how to get it. You're just trying to become a religious or recovery authority. You're trying to become a guru. That's what's going on here. It's all ego. And just like you got it by getting on your knees, breaking down, and being a lev nishbar, not a lev nishbar doesn't mean like I've read on Guard Your Eyes in old quotes on the forum, from the old forum that doesn't exist anymore before they updated it, or maybe it does exist, but on old posts it was like, oh yes, I remember texting someone, a broken heart, and they said, oh yes, I have a terribly broken heart, I cry over my averus. The tears are running down my face right now as I type this thing, and I believe the guy. That's not a lev nishbar. That's regret, shame, guilt, all these things. They have a place. That's not a lev nishbar. Sad is not nishbar. Nishbar is an ego that's broken. That's what's special about anivus. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was in Aspaklaria Meira, meaning clear, because he was the Anav Mikol Adam. Hashem's message goes to the Anav, who is a person who is a Lev Nishbar, V'nidke Elokim Lo Sivze. Why? Not because they're sad. Sadness is Megaresh connection to the Shechina. It's not sadness. It's not regret. It's not anything like that. It's Shivron Halev. It's the breaking of the ego of the person's dignity,
call it arrogance, but dignity, respect, da-da-da. That's why people who fight against addiction and say, it's not addiction, it's tshuva, it's not addiction, it's tshuva. Why are they saying that? And guard your eyes. I'm sorry, it's critical of some of the policies on guard your eyes, perhaps. When people achieve 90 days free, they send them a chip. I'm not on the Wall of Honor. I never was. But the people who go on the Wall of Honor, and they're like, oh, and then they get an email. You know, I have a friend who is in SA recovery. He was sober, a frum yid. Yiddish was his first language and is his first language, and he's a Hasidish, a sweet guy, thick accent, in the middle of, you know, Vizhnitz, and here he, or Borough Park, or whatever it is, I'm not saying what city he's from, sorry, but anyway, and here he is, a frum guy and everything, and he gets, and he's sober for a year, in 12 steps, honest, working on everything, his marriage turned around, he thought like his wife would divorce him, as she found out, she eventually found out in the proper way, caught him in recovery instead of acting out, and things turned out okay through the proper guidance, with the proper help. Everything he thought would be the end of the world was really the beginning of a great world that was better than anything he had before. His double life evaporated, and he was learning how to live one life, one person, one man, Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. And this person gets a letter, gets an email from Guard Your Eyes after he's sober for a year, and it says, oh, you've been on the Wall of Honor, you know, for a year it's gone by and you didn't report a fall. We want to congratulate you, you're bringing Mashiach, you're a tzaddik, you're this, you're that. He called me up, he said, I feel like it's going to make me act out. It's making me crazy, because it was pulling him back into thinking his old way, that it's tshuva that he needs, it's Torah that he needs, it's Yir Shamayim that he needs. And now he has it, you know. Look at the schar you're going to have. It's murder. Murder. It's murder. Murder. And it's all tricking him to say back to what you were trying to do before was working. You just didn't try it hard enough. You didn't try it good enough. You didn't listen carefully enough to the shir. You didn't learn the sefer good enough. You know, you weren't moiser nefesh enough. You know, it's not admitting the fact is he had certain ingredients, he didn't have certain basic ingredients that are even bigger before Torah. They're derech eretz kadma l'Torah. They are a priority to Torah. They're a priority. They come first. And guess what? He starts to fantasize now that he could have used Torah now from the beginning. Now that he's got the ingredients, it all seems to make sense. The Torah makes sense. Now he can impart that to other people, you know. So, you know, the poor guy gets this email and starts pulling him back into his old way of seeing things. It's starting to erase the sanity that he got and pull him back into the Mishigasin and the Chitzonius that he got, pretending that he doesn't have a double life, pretending that he really is good enough, you know. There's a certain nekuda that I'm forgetting here, and I'm sorry. Adavin to Hashem, please help me remember and say it right if it's good for the people who listen to this tape to hear it, who listen to this recording to hear it. But just to finish it up, this is what it was. Many people who talk about tshuva and talk about tshuva, and it's all over Guard Your Eyes, by the way. Still, it's misused by many people, I believe. The people who talk about tshuva, 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 it's because tshuva is respectable, recovery is not, and that's an ego, that's arrogance. That's our ego. That's our arrogance. It's respectable to be a Baal Tshuva. It's respectable to be Misaken. If you believe you can destroy, believe you can be Misaken. That's respectable. And that's part of what Rabbi Nachman is saying to people. But he's not talking about addiction. He's talking about Averis. Rabbi Nachman never dealt with addiction. He's talking about Averis. If you believe you can destroy, then believe you can fix. Because in other words, you're treating, you're looking down on yourself and you're such a disgusting schmuck and a disgusting, useless piece of garbage because you did so many aveiras. So stop looking at yourself that way, because if you have the power to destroy, then you obviously are a huge, tremendously powerful and amazing Bria. Accept that and believe you can also fix. Rabbi Nachman's right, of course. The problem is that for an addict, the temptation, if you're a firm guy, the temptation is, I got to fix this through Torah. Why? Because it's respectable. It restores my self-respect. It restores to me the badge of honor that I had the problem. Yes, I'm an addict. Yes, I'm paralyzed. Yes, I'm this. Yes, I'm unmanageable. Yes, I have a double life. I admit it. And I'm going to fix it through Torah. I'm going to fix it by being good enough. I'm going to fix it by my own power. By keeping the mitzvahs, keeping the Torah, doing the Torah, learning this, learning that, pushing it, making a shir, making a chabura, making a quote-unquote a recovery chabura where I have takanas, and I work on myself in this, I did it. It's tshuva. I did tshuva. And b'mokam shebal tshuva omdin ein tzadikim gemur mecholim lamod. And I'm in the highest place. And like they talk about on Guard Your Eyes, you're in the highest place. You're this, you're that. And it's true for a Baal Tshuva, not for an addict. And yes, a person who's an addict for sex, even though you're an addict, every time you waste Zera, it's an Avera. There's no such thing as, well, it's not an Avera because I'm powerless and therefore I don't have Bechira. That's not true. The 12 steps is all about self-responsibility, accepting self-responsibility. I have 100% responsibility. Adam Muad Le'oilam. That's a separate issue. What about Tshuva and for a recovering person? What about Tikkun for a recovering person? What about Gehenim for a recovering person? That's a separate issue. I'm not discussing that. I'm not talking about that right now. It's granted that the person can do tshuva, but that's not his recovery, and it's not going to help his recovery at all if he's an addict. So for the person who's pushing in the direction of recovery, tshuva, and calling it tshuva and dressing it up in the clothes of tshuva, what he's doing is he's trying to restore his self-respect because he or she simply refuses to bend over and marry a woman. He simply refuses to get on his knees. He refuses to be a lev nishbar. He wants to interpret lev nishbar as regret and sadness instead of arrogance breaking, instead of ego breaking, instead of hachna'a, which is really what 12 steps is all about and only about. Humility, hachna'a. If you read the books, you'll see it. Read the member stories in the back of the AA Big Book. And finally, you know, just because something happens to affect religious issues does not make it a religious problem, and because it's fixed and his religion is better doesn't make it a religious solution. Just like being healthy isn't a Shalom Bias issue, even though it affects Shalom Bias, of course. And getting a better job. Excuse me, there's a wind here, I'm sorry. This is what the world of recording. Just like a person getting a better job or getting a raise will affect his Shalom Bias. Absolutely, tremendously affect his Shalom Bias. And it might save his marriage and save Ladori Doris, and his kids will turn out better and marry from people because they had a more stable marriage. No. And it's all Shalom Bias. None of that's religion. None of that's religious issues. None of it. But it affects religion. It affects the Shalom Bias. And none of it's a Shalom Bias thing. That's not called marriage counseling. that's not Shalom Bias. But it affects the Shalom Bias. Don't confuse the two is what I'm trying to say. And the temptation to confuse it stems from the ego, where the person wants to consider his success a religious success, which would be a personal victory and a moral victory. That's a moral victory. That's respectable. that's something that the person can say, oh, see, you know, I won. I was misgaber, you know. And the fact that that's so respectable makes it really false. It makes it basically a hanging on to what got him in the same trouble in the first place. So I wish for you, me, and all of us to appreciate the beauty of the simple things, the simple things, the simple sanity, the simple honesty that from people who are involved in all these things and living a double life can't possibly have, because if they did, they wouldn't be doing these things. And we, if we're doing this stuff, the reason that we can support these two opposites is because we're possessing that insanity, and we're lacking that derecheretz. We've got the mafteches pnimius, but we don't have the mafteches chitzonius, and things won't work until that's broken. So, hatzlacha to everybody, and thank you for your patience, and I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to share this stuff with you, my friends. And Bezras Hashem, tomorrow will be a talk about recovery themes, addiction and recovery themes in the Avodah of Leil HaSeder and the Avodas of Pesach itself. Thanks. Bezras Hashem. Bye-bye.